You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Julio Rodriguez, and this is the Lookout Landing Podcast.
Keep the heads ringing.
Welcome back. Best Mariner podcast on the planet. It's me, Matthew Robertson. It's Lookout Landing. It's all of us. Hope everyone is doing okay in this, the 9,000th month of the pandemic. But we are soldiering on. We've somehow gotten on a regular schedule against all odds, and we're happy to bring you another episode. I am at mroberson22 on Twitter. Y'all probably knew that. You also probably knew who my co-hosts were. They're the same people every week. It's Kate Prusser and John Troopin. What are y'all up to this week?
The same thing we do every week, which is nothing.
Tight. John, anything going on with you? John hangs out with kids. Well, hold on. John works with kids.
let's work on. let us reframe.
John has been hired
in a professional capacity.
Exactly. Yeah, he's supposed to be there. Everything is great and legal. Surely you have some cool stories though of just kids doing kid nonsense.
I mean, they just are. Pretty much as like fed up as everyone. Like, they did an election back when the election was happening, and then it ended in a tie and everyone was really upset, and then the next day they built a casino, which I think is a good response to like an election just kind of being a disaster. Was fuck it, all right, we're gonna make Uno and Rat-a-tat-cat just like something you have to pay for,
instruments of the democracy.
Yeah. Wait, back up. That. What is Rat-a-tat-cat?
Oh,
is that
it's
a new
fun.
Game?
Rat-a-tat-cat?
Yeah, it's a little card game.
It's a game.
It's
fun and easy.
Yeah, it's just cats and rats, like numbered 1 to 10, and you know try to get a low numbers. It's a good like intro game for kids who are 6, which is like half the class, and then just like a couple very bored and over it 10-year-olds. So, yeah, but you know that is at least interesting. Although it does mean I am seeing more people than the average human, but yeah,
I hear you. Well, thank you for that. John at Twitter, at John Troopin, Kate on Twitter at Kate Prusser, and our guest today, also on Twitter, I'm sure you've heard of them, one half of the Cespedes Family Barbecue, the Mariner fan half. It's Jordan Schusterman. Jordan, how tired are you of yourself? Because I can speak for myself. Coming up on about a year of hanging out with myself in a big way, it's not a lot of fun. So how are you holding up?
Yeah, no, that's a great place to start, of course. And I've been mostly with my family over the last year, so that's been nice. Pros and cons to that, as I'm sure anyone could attest to. But yeah, just limit. You know, I miss meeting new people. It's really that simple. I think that's something that is very basic. There's so many things about normal life that I miss, but especially just like meeting someone for 2 hours and then forgetting about them. That's like a cool thing that I just is essentially impossible now. I mean, I guess we experience that every day on Twitter when someone's in the mentions that you don't like, but you know,
or someone's the main character of the day.
There you go, the main character of the day, as we all know. But yeah, that's a very basic thing that I definitely am look forward to doing again. But you know, I'm just trying to reach out to people and connect with people who I haven't talked to in a long time, and that sort of feels like, you know, meeting new people again. So that's how I've been getting by.
Are you in the DC area? Where are you? Yep. Give us your home address, Jordan. Where are you?
Yeah, sure. So if you pull up your Google Maps, I can give you the exact coordinates.
That like I always think of you and Jake kind of as a unit, which obviously you are not, but you are in different places.
Yeah, no, but that's an important point. I think that's still something we're fighting to this day, and that's fine. That's what we agreed to when we agreed to do everything professionally together. but yes, I am in Maryland, outside the DC area where I grew up. I was in New York for a couple of years, and Jake is still in New York. But last year, during the pandemic, which I think you guys saw that, right? There was a pandemic. Is a pandemic actually still going on?
Explains why no one's talking to me anymore. I thought I just pissed everyone off.
Yeah, that's the reason. Yeah, that's the reason.
Is that why I've had so much trouble finding toilet paper?
That's the problem. Yes. So I moved. I abandoned the Big Apple last year and have been back home with my family. Maybe we'll return to New York. Maybe at some point this year. Maybe we'll stay here. We'll see. Still some stuff to be worked out. But that is my rough location.
Is there snow? Are you covered in snow right now?
Oh yes, I most certainly am. I don't think we have as much here as they got in New York, but there's a solid, you know, 9-10 inches out there, which has been kind of nice. It's the first like real snow is like cool, but again, it's not like I feel like I'm being kept inside. That's not new, so it's not that feeling is not anything different. If anything, it makes me want to go outside more, honestly. So there is snow. I'm looking at snow. Yes.
It's pretty cool, I guess. I would like some snow just to like give me like a sense of what time of year it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's very cliche. I know everyone has made this joke, but like there's no way to tell what time it is. Like, you know, 3 o'clock feels the same as, you know, 9 p.m., especially when it's dark like it is in Seattle. But some snow would just be like a nice, like, okay, yeah, this is winter. And then February here too is usually really cold. And I feel like that's when we get snow in Seattle. So I would love that just as like normalcy, you know, like, okay, here's a thing that happens normally and it's still happening.
Sure. No, in that sense, you're very right. It does provide some context for the time that we continue to try and figure out on a regular basis.
I was mentioning earlier that it's National Girls and Women in Sports Day, and it's also apparently National Catcher's Day. And I've been pinged to the Slack, the Lookout Landing Slack, with this video that Carson Vitale, who is the field coordinator for the Mariners, has tagged you in.
Yes.
Along with Shed Long. Do you want to describe what is happening here in this video, and also explain why is Carson looping you in on this?
Oh, yes. No, this was a
sorry for the rough transition there.
No. This is a wonderful surprise.
I was trying to think
surprise.
Of something to transition cleanly, but I was just like, oh, screw it.
No, you're good. This is a Mariners topic I certainly did not anticipate discussing when I woke up this morning. But
Shed Long's catching future?
But yeah, yes. Well, at the very least, catching past. So yes. So Shed, of course, one of our favorite Mariner personalities, and maybe we'll get into where he fits on the 2021 team at some point on this podcast. But yeah, he tweeted National Catcher's Day, a picture of National Catcher's Day, and with a picture of him in high school, you know, with his chest protector and his glove, and like that's Shed catching. And I did know that Shed, I assume you guys were also familiar with Shed's catching background, but he in his tweet he said, "Lord knows I shouldn't have been back there, LOL,"
which is
great, and also like
a pretty large self own from Shed,
right
in the public sphere, which I thought was weird.
Absolutely. So and so he tweeted that, and then I responded to Shed and I said, disagree, like, need you backing up Murphy this year. And sorry for the Luis Torrens slight. Like, that was not on purpose. I was just trying to be, you know, trying to be brief. And then, you know, that was just a throwaway line. And then here comes Carson Vitale out of nowhere with a video, an 8-second video of Shed in Peoria in full gear. What I guess must have been not that long ago. I don't know. When do we think this was? Last year?
Like, I mean, it's in color, so.
Yeah, it's good. Good point. Good point. Good clue there. Of Shed catching a pitch. And first of all, I would love to know who's throwing that pitch. Just because it was like, all right, Shed's going to catch you today. Like, all right, sure.
Yeah, it's probably not Andre Munoz.
Probably not Andre Munoz, right. But the best part of this video, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, is in the video you can hear Shed saying, send this to DePoto. which is great. And as our friend Justice Sheffield, I'm seeing, has just responded with that quote.
And a bunch of laughing emojis.
And just a bunch of laughing emojis. So so anyway, and then Shed responded to my tweet basically being like, no, like, they are not going to need me. Like, please, that's not a good idea. He said, yes, because I quote tweeted and said, that's my emergency catcher. And Shed said, keyword emergency. Don't think I'll be needed back there. But I got to say, though, like, as far as emergency catchers go, I feel pretty good about this.
Because
we hear about some teams in some pretty dire situations, and I feel like Shed could really do a bang-up job.
Or get banged up, one of the two.
Probably a little bit of both.
We're going to get off the rails because I feel like that's just the nature of this group of people. But did y'all know that Raul Ibanez was an emergency catcher at one point, and he caught in real life in a major league game?
I did. No, not wait. When? How early in his career?
1999.
I thought he was signed like as a catcher. That part I knew. I did not know that he like made it in any capacity at like to catching, like a la Mike Blowers. Like
right.
Who also as a child, I just thought Mike Blowers was a catcher, and like my brain because I like. Saw that happen, I guess, somehow, and that just lodged in, like, I just kind of assumed, oh yeah, he's a catcher, like, and then apparently I was like, oh no, he did that one time, and he played third base, like, but I don't know, Raul basically
I will say,
was
like,
a
Blowers
catcher.
Has big catcher energy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't blame you at all on that.
I too labored under this delusion for a while before remembering that he was in fact a third baseman. He talks about the game like a catcher does, you know, he knows pitching, and he's just, it's really just that Mike Blowers is extremely smart and good, but.
Wow. Well, I did not know this. Thank you for educating me. Now I'm going to go track down this, what the hell led to this situation.
It's four innings in 1999. That's his entire catching experience. Back when he was a 27-year-old on his first stint with the Mariners, first of like nine stints with Seattle.
Yeah, Ibanez though is also one of those guys where, like, to me, he was 37 for his entire career, right? So like, I can't even, it doesn't even, you know, compute that he was ever in his 20s.
Yeah, if you come up bald, you're not doing yourself a lot of favors. Like, you're gonna look old for your whole career.
Yes, the bald rookie group is, that's something I like to track. Who are the bald rookies?
I was gonna say, like, I think we were talking about there's that photo of Clyde Drexler, who was somehow inexplicably 27, that's been on Twitter, and he just looks ancient. Like, Raul Ibanez is a holdover from that era. Mm-hmm. Just like, you have more wrinkles than any human being, you know, sub 45 should have. Like, and it's just because you're worrying that the ball's going to be hit to you, like, the entire time? Like, I don't know, but... It's rough sitch.
Stressful time. There's a lot of things at work here. I mean, I don't want to speculate, but just from watching him play baseball, you could see the sheer amount of tobacco that he would put in his cheek. Mm-hmm. And I've got to think that didn't help with the aging process or just his general health at large.
By the way, we should say congratulations. Raul just got hired by MLB. He's got a gig in the league office, I assume, in New York, where... Having been there, I don't know if he's going to be able to dip as much.
I was going to say, I coached youth baseball before and coached against a team Raul Ibanez was actually coaching at one point because his son was playing on the team, who I think is now a reasonably solid prospect. And he, I believe, was not doing so during the game, but immediately after on the way out. Very nice, like, took lots of time, talked to, like, shook lots of hands and whatnot, but definitely, like, was on the way out, was seemed to be filling it up. So yeah, that might be a tougher one. I don't know if, like, if he's got an office, like, next to Manfred, if there's just gonna be a, like, a spittoon,
sort of stationed around.
Right, yeah, what are...
I would really like that, actually. That's a good vibe to bring.
Do those rules apply, right? To the league office, to the
is he grandfathered in?
Yeah, he'd be grandfathered in.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Congrats to Raul. He listens, so he's gonna love the shout out.
Yes. Hey, shout out to his son who's at Florida International University, and will be starting his freshman year. If they play college baseball this year.
Austin Shinton from Florida International.
There you go.
That is a school that's been good to the Mariners. Do you know much about Austin Shinton? Because we know that you love prospects and enjoy interesting guys. And I think Austin Shinton, I mean, obviously I'm biased towards him because he's a Mariner prospect, but I think he's extremely interesting.
I agree. I almost, I was texting with Kate last week about just like prospects that you know, we're especially attached to in the non-Julio category.
Julio is his own.
It's a different, you know, stratosphere. And I didn't mention Shetton then, but yeah, no, he's definitely there. And I have not, I think you guys have maybe talked to him a little bit, but I think he's kind of now lost in the shuffle because now that we have, and maybe we'll talk about just like what it's like now following this, what is one of the best, you know, farm systems in baseball. You know, it wasn't that long ago when it was so bad that like Austin Shinton would be like the clear number one. Like he probably would have been, we would be so excited about Austin Shinton. But now that we have these shiny top 10 prospects and first round picks and, it's like, Austin is nice. He's like a nice player. It's like, no, like this dude could be really good. So especially at third where like that's a position that, you know, that's kind of it could go in a lot of different directions in the next 3 to 4 years. So, yeah, he's an interesting one.
Absolutely. That is a position that I know just pretty much even fans who casually follow the team are like, can see the glaring hole at third base and are wondering what is going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that carries some built-in excitement for fans. The fact that he's a local kid, obviously, mm-hmm. Has this inspiring story with his mom battling cancer and brother who has special needs, who is a huge inspiration as well. And he's done a ton of charity work up in Bellingham and worked for... Oh, and this is where I wish Mikey was on the pod because he would know the name of this school off the top of his head, and I do not. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, Austin was involved in a lot of fundraising for that. I'm wondering, I just think he's an interesting guy because he's kind of a Renaissance man. He is a photographer. You know, he's interested in like things outside of baseball, which I always think is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, do you think there are any other vegan prospects out there?
Oh, man, that's a great question.
Because we had Braden Bishop on a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, Shinton, man, he's insane. Like, why would you not eat a steak? Like, I think Shinton's probably put a lot of thought into why he doesn't eat a steak, but...
Right. And I would also just be curious how that, right, in terms of, you know, nutrition is a big part of just...
Right,
professional athletes. I'm sure there would be a large percentage of professional major league nutritionists that are like, dude, you need to eat a steak every once in a while. But
right.
I assume they can't make them. So if you're someone as thoughtful as Austin clearly is, like, I'm sure that, you know, they can't make them. But no, I would say I bet there are, just because I think that there's probably other nutrition and health, you know, forward thinking. People that it's just in this world now that they probably do exist in baseball. But yeah, I have to imagine it's probably a pretty small number.
I feel like it's something that would have been reported on wherever, you know, it would have been reported on if there are. So, I mean, I'm willing to stick to, I bet he's the only one, but.
Listen, I mean, that's a title that, fine with me. Like if he's the only one, great, awesome. Only makes me like him more, but I don't know. I think I'm just playing the odds.
Yeah, do not fact check. It's
fine. That's true. That's true. Yes, don't even look at it.
Never fact check us is one of the cardinal rules of this podcast.
If you're another vegan prospect in baseball, guess what? No, you're not. You're not a vegan anymore.
Not anymore.
I would love to know, like, and he's kind of yet to start his journey through professional baseball. I mean, he did put in some time at the low minors this year. So, like, he's been in Charleston, West Virginia, and, you know, obviously stuck to his diet there. So I would just, Austin Shenton, come on the pod, because I would love to talk to you about eating vegan in Charleston, West Virginia, and where, you know, bacon is like a seasoning.
I was going to say, it's if you can do it there, you can probably do it anywhere.
I would love to talk about, too, like, do they have to make accommodations for him at the complex? Like, I would think that that would be something that they would be into, since, you know, that Washington Post story. Was it Washington Post?
The one
about the quinoa
enchiladas
or quinoa quesadillas or whatever it was, and everyone just threw up their hands about it. It almost became like a joke. Well, guess who the joke is on now?
Yeah, when Austin Shen's a top 100 prospect and you were like, what? Where did this come from? Well, take a look at his diet. It's pretty good.
It was all that quinoa.
We've seen a lot of the top 100 lists come out. Who on the Mariners who is not a top 100 prospect do you think deserves consideration for the lists?
Oh, man. So because I am fortunate enough to have a lot of time and energy to put towards this, I track this stuff pretty obsessively. And so I guess I would follow up with the obnoxious question, does Noel V. Marte count because he has made one top 100 list?
I am counting Noel V. Marte, who I think we would all agree to. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really think this is a point of discussion. I think I'm speaking a little bit for John and... Mm-hmm. And for Matthew here, but I think we would all consider Marte just included. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's one where, like, even the ones that aren't putting him on are, like, going out of their way to mention, like, this is the guy who very well could be there soon. You know, it's interesting. I mean, we have, you know, six pretty much solid guys that have been on most or all of the lists. And, you know, it's hard to get greedy. I know, Kate, you have...
Oh, no, I spent years writing about the farm of 2016 and 2017.
Right,
like,
right.
I feel entitled to all the greed.
Yes, and so to that point, I agree that we should, you know, try... Let's squeeze a seventh on there. I will say, though, like, even looking at it somewhat objectively, it does feel like a pretty clear delineation. That said, having read... a lot of what you've written about Cal Raleigh, like, I'm very compelled by the Cal Raleigh is underrated. Whether that means Cal Raleigh's the top 100 prospect, I don't know, but, like, I'm in on that. And then I would say, like, we don't know nearly enough about Brandon Williamson at this point, I think, to really be that excited, but the whispers about what he was showing when he was healthy is the kind of thing where it's like, all right, well, let's talk about, and you can kind of apply this too with Cal Raleigh in terms of, like, other minor league catchers. It's like, okay, so he had more homers than every other minor league catcher in the minor leagues. Like, okay, well, that's a good place to start, right? And with Brandon Williamson, I could imagine at some point, maybe it's a year from now, where you're like, all right, how many other left-handed pitching prospects are throwing this hard with this stuff? That's gonna be a short list, right? And so with his medical and with his draft pedigree, like, it's such a small track record, and you can never go something I think we probably all deal with following this organization, which pumps its prospects so much, is like, how do you balance getting swept up in believing everything you're hearing about all of the players versus, like, understanding that there are other ways to evaluate our own prospects than just listening to what Andy McKay says, right? And so not that I think they're making stuff up, but it's still I always have to try to at least be remembered that there are a lot of other people evaluating their own players, and of course I also believe, like, you know your own players the best, but I think before getting too far away and be like, oh, nobody understands how good Brandon Williamson is, and that's why I think Cal Raleigh is a better example, because it's like, no, he went out and did it. Like, he was doing it, and you could all there to see. But I think a guy like Williamson and then Juan Ten also is another one where like what you're hearing is like, oh damn, like that's starting to sound really interesting. But I think it would be way too early to really put any of these guys actually on a top 100 list.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just, I mean, it's such a rough thing with track record. I think Raleigh has the best argument, like you said, because of the track record. I couldn't believe when I laid out his numbers against all the other, like, kind of top-tier rookie catchers, the guys who have made it, the guys who are in MLB Pipeline's top 10 for catchers. And then even, I mean, I have more where I just compared him to all of the catchers. I mean, he is right up there. I mean, he's right there trailing Rutschman and Bart numbers-wise just a little bit. He obviously outdid Bart at the Cal League, but because Bart was hurt. I mean, I can't believe he's not in that conversation a little more because he has that track record, because he has that SEC pedigree. And I think it goes back to him, not SEC, ACC, but you know, major conference pedigree.
Yeah, it wasn't, that's the thing. It wasn't like a small, it's not like he wasn't a great college player. So,
and he had a bad year because he was playing with like a broken thumb, I think, or a hurt finger, which really depressed his numbers and I think affected his draft stock and his draft standing, which is another good reason why. And that didn't come out until after the draft. And I don't know why you would suppress that information because I don't think it, I don't think that it did him any favors to not have that be common information, because when he's been healthy, he's been great. And it's really been just kind of the one thing that's happened to him. He's pretty durable for a catcher. So
yeah.
I mean, think that that's definitely, I mean, I'm biased towards Cal Raleigh. I watch him a lot and I really think that he holds his own, but just objectively. And like you were talking about, it's hard to separate like the hype from the objective analysis, but there is no hype with Cal Raleigh. Like, he wasn't even at the Mariners baseball bash, the two-week thing. I don't know where he was, but no Cal Raleigh Twitter takeover.
He was getting that degree. He was getting that degree.
That's true.
Finals.
He's in school. Yeah, no, he is an interesting one, and he's also one now as we, you know, sort of transition towards trying to win baseball games, hopefully. He could really swing it in a pretty significant direction if he is a big part of it. Because that's not, when the average fan is thinking about the up-and-coming teams, he's not even on the radar, you know? Like, he's not even part of the Mariners being good equation. It's the outfield, understandably, as it should be, right? Like, that's why when MLB's putting out the Kyle Lewis, Kelnick, Julio graphic, like, that's what people are thinking about when it's like, oh, the Mariners might be good. It's about them. And it's about, you know, I mean, I guess the pitcher's less so. I still think people don't really know about them as much, which is fine. But that's who you're talking about. And then now J.P. Crawford and Evan Webb with the gold gloves. But no, I mean, he could swing it in a pretty significant direction if he really is like an actual impact catcher, because that's not a thing that many teams have at all.
He's got over the fence power, which I think is something that is a little lacking with, I mean, Evan White has got it and we've seen it, but it's a journey for him to get there from where he was this season. I don't know how much over the fence power Jared's going to have. That's kind of always been the knock on him. I think he will hit and hit and hit. Julio is obviously a ways off. He will bring that, but we're going to have to, I think as far as like, who is going to be impacting the team the soonest with the most power, it's going to be Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that is a very, very compelling argument.
So we're kind of dancing around it a little bit, like the whole thing of like, oh, well, the Mariners are going to be good if, you know, if X, Y, and Z happens, if these prospects come up. But like, to have those prospects actually form a winning team, you'd got to think there's going to be at least a couple proven established big league players around them who can like help on the field, but also do the classic clubhouse stuff, you know, just be the leader, capital L. And so far today is February 3rd. The Mariners' biggest offseason pickup in an attempt to maybe accelerate that process is probably Keenan Middleton or Chris Flexen, depending how you feel about Flexen. They're definitely not spending any money, which is frustrating. So Jordan, my question for you is simple. How mad are you at the Mariners front office for not adding any players?
Yeah, it's hard. I think it's, I don't know, and I totally understand where you guys are coming from, and you've written a lot about this, and I totally am like with you. And like the Mariners, as some other teams that are kind of in the middle ish where it's like, all right, like you've sucked for a while, like let's not that, I mean, I know the Mariners had a winning season a couple years ago, but like you've gotten really bad and you've promised to get good, like, you know, put your money where your mouth is, actually try. I mean, it's so hard. You can imagine that the Mariners just being in the position of saying, look, well, we have all these top prospects and one of them's going to be, or two of them, you know, in Kelnick and Gilbert are going to be in the big league soon, that like just sit back and be like, listen, we're not going to go out of our way to spend money to get us to whatever that is. I don't know what that number is, right? Because I don't think we're out here expecting them to go, you know, sign Real Muto and sign Ozuna and sign whoever. But I don't know. I'm mad because, of course, I'm mad at all the teams for not spending money. Like, something like looking at what the Royals have done fair. This offseason, right? Like, looking at what the Royals do. Like, on one hand, I'm like, oh, awesome. Like, the Royals just going and paying for, like, regular good major leaguers. Mm-hmm. Carlos Santana, Mike Minor, you know, even Michael A. Taylor, whatever. These are smaller ones, right? But it's just like, okay, like, on one hand, like, that's awesome. I get it. Cool. And on the other hand, I'm like, okay, well, what is the point of that? And I don't know. I mean, I think the Mariners are closer than the Royals. But it's so hard to like totally turn my realistic brain off and think like, what is the total point of doing it this season? At the same time, that feeling does not overwhelm the overall being mad at all the teams for not spending. And so that is really a more prominent feeling than specifically the Mariners, because I don't think they are that unique to this. And that's part of the problem, because they're probably looking around and like, well, why? Like, this is just not something that our teams in this position do. And that's part of the reason why baseball is in a very dangerous and broken place. And that's the thing. And so that's it. And I guess that's my point, is I don't think it's a uniquely Mariners position. And that's part of the problem. And I also why I can't get particularly mad. That said, as I know John has pointed out, keeping the hope that next year's free agents class is going to be amazing as it is probably not as always going to be true, because mm-hmm. guys sign extensions and it's not as good as it looks. But they better spend a boatload next winter. And I know you guys, I'm sure we all think that, but it is, yeah. So there's my long winded answer. Sorry if I'm not mad enough.
That was a good answer. It definitely is important to remember that like every team is guilty of this. But the thing, I mean, just today, especially,
today's a great example. It's a good time.
Colton Wong signed with
the
Brewers for like a very reasonable amount of money, 2 years, $18 million, I think. And the most frustrating part is Jerry DePoto said out loud to reporters, like, that's basically the exact type of player he was looking for. Left-handed bat who can play second base, who's not like LeMahieu money. Like, if they were going to get a free agent that would make the fans happy, it would have been him.
Right. Yeah. Matthew, I think that's also maybe unfairly where some of the particular degree of frustration kind of simmers for me, is like, you know, if it'd be one thing if they were sort of saying like, well, you know, pandemic really threw us off. We didn't get to evaluate our players as much as we want to. And we, you know, it's really, we understand it's frustrating, but we really need to give these guys more time. You know, and like they've said bits of that, but it's like you're saying that, but then you're also saying, well, we still think we can go out there and give ourselves a chance to be a playoff, can, you know, chase a playoff spot, and we want to add, you know, a left-handed hitting guy who can play these
ways,
positions,
which is frustrating.
Right. You know, it is like they're setting a very low bar for themselves, which is what every team, as you said, not every team, but many teams are understandably prone to do. But like, you're not stepping over the bar that you've laid down on the floor in front of you. Like, you know, their criteria for a left-handed hitter who can ideally play second base and left field, you can sign Eric Sogard or Jason Kipnis or Brad Miller is kind of what you're looking at right now. Like, that's what you're looking at.
We're all
right
thinking
now.
It. We're all thinking it.
No.
You know, and it's like, yeah, you can do that, but like, I don't know. It is.
That would piss me off more than not signing anyone. Honestly, like, stick to one side, you know?
Right. Well, and that was part of the thing, right? Is like, if you're going to make these signings, you should sign one or two people who are likely actual, you know, sizable upgrades. Right. You know, it isn't to your point about like the Michael A. Taylors. It's like signing someone who is okay, probably, who's like a one win kind of player versus letting someone who might be worse, probably is worse, but might be better. Like, I would rather see, you know, some of the young outfielders play, or I'd rather see Shed Long play full time. But like, if your goal is we want to be in a position where if most of these young guys perform, that we're in a playoff contention, then you're not doing that. Like, you're not putting your team in a position to do that. And that seems frustrating.
Yeah, I also think that, like, we are spoiled, and also, you know, there's pros and cons on this. Just, like, how much Jerry talks. Like, there are teams that just don't hear anything about, or, like, their GMs are so good at essentially saying nothing, or their ownership is so good at saying nothing, that it's like you aren't expecting anything because they've said nothing and they have announced nothing. And they say the same thing every offseason, whether they are going to spend $100 million or spend $10 million. Like, they say nothing. The fact that, you know, the Mariners front office is so outward and so like, this is what we're trying to do, this, that we get these ideas of like, okay, well, then you should get this exact thing that it is very clear that you want. And when they don't, it's like, well, damn it. Like, that's shitty. Like, and to that point, again, it's an ownership thing, right? Like, all these issues are just, you know, everyone would love to go spend money on the best players. Like, it's not like Eric Neander loves having a $30 million payroll. Like, yeah, exactly. I promise you he would love to get, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are problems with the way that front offices talk about players and the way that they view the game and the way that they, like, that is its own question. But if we're talking strictly willingness to spend money on average major league players, like, it's just an ownership problem. And I think that is why we are still left with literally nearly 100 free agents that are still out there on February 3rd.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
Yeah. So,
because I think you're hinting at something that is actually important to remember, and I struggle with this all the time. Like, the money thing is ownership. That's not Jerry DePoto, you know. Like, so if he wants a player and the ownership tells him, well, tough luck, we're not going to spend on that player, then like, Jerry's kind of, his hands are tied. But the fact that this is Gerard DePoto that we're talking about, a man who loves nothing more than to change up his roster, like,
right,
that, like, this is his whole thing. It'd be like, right, if you went,
no, that's true,
it'd be like if you went to see like Genuine in concert and he didn't play Pony. You're like, what are we doing? We get it. Maybe
this
you're
is
trying
your
to
one thing.
Yeah, maybe you're trying to distance yourself from that. But at the end of the day, you gotta play the hits. Like, at least trade like a nothing minor leaguer for a fifth starter, at least, you know? Then get back on the tour bus and head
to
Boise.
The thing. And honestly, like, the Montero trade was an example where, and I can't come up with the version of Rafael Montero that's an infielder. Or whatever, like
Adam,
a hitter.
Adam Frazier.
That makes sense. Sure, Adam Frazier.
That was quick. Great job, John.
There you go. Well, John can think about it. John's been thinking about this more than I have. like, that's the thing. Like, that is another way to do it, right? Like, that, and that is the way that I would imagine Jerry would be more than willing to attempt, right? And to see it with the Montero move, I thought was pretty good. But yeah, so right. It is hard to know. That's constantly what we're trying to figure out, because the GMs are the ones that are out there talking and saying what they would like to do, especially Jerry DePoto is very explicit and very open and very transparent. This is what we want. This is the players we're trying to do. This is the pitchers we're trying to add. And as we sit here now, there are still things, clearly, like we said, the left-handed bat. So, like, at this point, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think they are going to sign a Brad Miller, or do you think they're going to say, screw it, let's just do our best with Shed and Sam Haggerty and whoever and not even bother with the money and maybe – maybe think about it as, let's go with this. If we're playing well, now we take that $10 million cushion that ownership said we could have had, and now we trade for someone in July or something. Like, I don't know. I'm just throwing shit out there. But, like, at this point, without Cole Wong, are they just going to say screw it? Like, do you think there's no more moves, or do we think that we still there's another thing to be done? Because you just said, Kate, like, you'd rather them just sign no one at this point.
I would rather them just sign no one, save the money, roll it into a Jared Kelnick extension. I like that idea. And I mean, I just hate the idea of Brad Miller on this team so much. I hate it with a vehemence that I can't express in a way that wouldn't get us in trouble with the FCC. So I'm going to button that up and just say, like, I do hope, because honestly, I think it, commit to a vision, right? Like, commit to a vision of either we're splashing money and we're spending and we're going to try to get better, or we're going to give our young guys a chance to play and we're not spending and we know that that's frustrating to you. Just don't try to have it both ways. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Like, stick to one thing. And I think that I understand that there's a long playoff drought. I think most people have resigned themselves to it, though. They're excited enough about these guys who are coming up. Like, you could sell that vision of the franchise. The people who are going to hate it are the people who are just going to hate no matter what you do. Like, you could sign every free agent out there and they'd be like, LOL, same old Mariners. Like, you're never getting those people back. Don't even try.
By the way, I have seen Genuine live circa 2002. It was actually my first concert. He was opening for NSYNC at the Tacoma Dome, and it was life-changing.
Damn.
You know, if maybe that could be an allegory for what's going to happen, you know, because I love, you know, concerts. That started me on a good path. So maybe if this Jerry DePoto Genuine not playing pony plan keeps going, then it'll lead to, you know, 18 years or whatever of great, great fortune, like me going to cool concerts. So Jerry, I get it now.
At this point, the money I want them to spend is on a pitcher, Taiwan or James Paxton, preferably. Like, if they're going to spend money, I don't want Brad Miller. Like, bring me someone I actually like.
I agree.
Improve the rotation. Sorry, just to put a bow on that conversation.
Yeah. Well, I was going to
shout
out you.
But please, tell us more about Genuine.
No, it's about you. I've heard you crush Pony at karaoke. do you remember that?
That was when we were playing a game that I used to play pre-COVID with my friends. It's like March Madness, but it's karaoke, and we have a jar, and people put songs in the jar, and whatever you draw out, you have to do. So someone put Pony by Genuine in, and you know, there's like two ways you can, again, it's like you can half-ass it and no one will appreciate that, or you can commit to it, like commit to a vision. And I committed to the vision of me singing Pony.
I mean, let me just say, now I just miss karaoke. Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate it. Appreciate that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I do what I can. I do what I can, folks. I also miss karaoke.
Did you ever see when Kyle Lewis made that home run robbing catch and he like literally galloped in? I set that to Pony. I wish I had
actually
more, like,
don't think I've seen
skills.
That. That's,
oh, I'll send it to you.
Okay, please. Please do. Please pass it along.
His mom follows the account, so I always I try to avoid like anything salacious. She's a very nice Christian lady, so I try to avoid anything salacious involving Kyle Lewis. But I just had to. I had
couldn't
to.
Resist.
It fit perfectly.
Couldn't resist. Yeah. No, I get it.
That was the high point of the 2020 season to me, for sure. Like, that one moment was like, I was like, all this crap is worth it.
Oh, I thought you meant the content, because that was my favorite part.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
Oh, actually, speaking of which, Jordan, are you watching Vibin' with J-Rod? Where are you at on Julio's YouTube career?
I am very familiar with Vibin' with J-Rod. First of all, when I saw that this was going to be a thing, I was like, this is, I mean, like, the Julio hype train has left the station long ago. and we've all been very fortunate to be.
It left the station at like a 45-degree long, like angle. Like yeah. It's in yeah. space at this
point. Yes, it is. It has been a meteoric journey already, and it was the kind of thing where when I saw this was happening, I was like, I don't like this is almost overkill to the point where I was like, I don't even deserve to have this much more Julio content, honestly. But I think having watched them and having seen the way that they're structured, my one takeaway is that Julio is incredible. And my other takeaway is that they could use some production help in terms of how they organize those conversations. But that's as someone who's, you know, has made a living talking to players. So I feel a little like I could see where it's like, ooh, I wouldn't have done that because yeah, I mean, that's why this conversation went nowhere. And yeah, that's what, you know.
Specifically, can we get into like some specifics? Because I agree, I've had the same feeling as that. And like, you know, they'll do like cute little overlays of like Noel V likes to sleep, and then there's a little overlay over him of him sleeping in a bed. I'm like, well, that's cute, but
right. Oh, I know the edits and whatever is just like, I think the main thing with Julio, and this is true with everything that he talks about when he, because he wants to talk, he wants to keep being out there.
Yes.
But like when you give him the same questions over and over, he's going to give you the same answers over and over. And that's too bad because I think he will give you funny answers if you just ask him anything different. Mm-hmm. And he wants to try. I would say one of the best things, conversations I've heard with Julio, was the interview he did in West Virginia with the West Virginia broadcaster. I'm forgetting his name. But that was...
Yes.
That was a conversation with Julio that I've seen over the last 2 years. And I can imagine that was whatever in summer.
Are you talking
summer.
About the podcast episode that they did?
Yes.
Or the
yeah.
There was an on-air interview, but there was also a podcast episode, which you can go. It was called Something the Grid. I can look it up.
Yes. Yeah. So it was the podcast episode. And it was like, and by the way, we can only imagine how much, you know, better his English is now. I mean, that was in summer of 19. I think the thing with him is just like, on one, I understand
expanding
the inclination.
Expanding the grid, sorry.
Expanding the grid, there you go.
Expanding the grid.
Yes. And I understand the inclination to want to just, like, build everything around him and let him do his thing. I would almost, like, somehow open it up more and, like, don't give him a script to read in some senses. I think a lot of the best moments are not when he's looking down and reading a script.
No, I absolutely agree, because there were so many times where in the vibing with J-Rod things where you see him talking and you see he's having a conversation with a guest, and then it's like it stops and he looks down at his cue cards for the next question.
Right.
And I just feel like it's a crutch he doesn't need.
It's that and another thing. Sorry, go ahead, Matthew.
We got to teach Julio the yes and technique.
Yes.
Yeah, but again, like his passion for just, you know, sharing his experience and whatever, like that's so powerful that more and by the way, this applies to everybody. Like, especially with him when he's so passionate about baseball in general. Do more baseball, like honestly, more baseball specific questions can be interesting. Like, I would love to know. Now I'm just giving these questions away for free. Hopefully I'll talk, you know, if I get to talk to Julio, whatever, I'll still get to ask him these things. But it's just like, I want to know about his signing class. I want to know about the players that he was playing with since he was 13 and 14. Who are those guys? What is your relationship with them now? I want to know what he thinks about Juan Soto. I want to know what he thinks about the generation that is now like showing like, yeah, I can be a major leaguer when I'm 19. By the way, I think that's a huge part of why he's so confident, not just his own personality, but it's very easy to look at Juan Soto and Tatis and whatever and be like, why can't, like, I could do that. That's fine. Right. And maybe we've been spoiled in that sense, but I think an overarching message that goes beyond just vibing with J-Rod is just like, find what these guys actually want to talk about and don't just be like, let's do the obvious personality questions.
Right.
Because when you just, most baseball players will tell you that they like to golf and they like to fish and they like to hunt. That's what they're going to say if you ask them what they do away from the field.
Right.
Well, you gotta take it a little bit in another direction, and because that's what you're gonna get. And maybe that sounds obvious, but we learned that a long time ago, and I would encourage anybody who's gonna interview a baseball player that don't try and go. If it's obvious that they're gonna say fishing, hunting, and working out, then come up with a different question.
Right.
Well, I 100% agree with that. I would also, yeah. While we're shouting out minor league broadcasters, we're pretty fortunate in the Mariners system to have a lot of good ones at every level. David Kahn and Kyle Heumann did the Expanding the Grid podcast in West Virginia, where you can go back and listen to a lot of those interviews. The Julio one is great. There are other really fun ones.
Mm-hmm.
Keaton Galugli in Modesto did a lot, and he has a lot on his channel. I think he has a YouTube channel where he's archived a bunch of them, and he has a similar interview with Julio where and he interviewed the bullpen as like a group, and that was one of mm-hmm. the best interviews I've ever heard, where they were all, again, like just playing off each other, talking yeah. about like what their goals were for each other. And you know, it was a little personal, but it was also about baseball. And I mean, I understand yeah. that you want to get a perception of who these guys are off the field, but like
mm-hmm.
honestly, that's not the most interesting things about them. The most interesting things about them, I think, is like what drew them to baseball, what are the connections they've made there, what kind of players are they, like what is the connection between these two players who are sitting here, because mm-hmm. it's not like hunting or fishing, or
right.
if it is, that's dull. It's baseball, so let's stay on that.
And to that point, like I think you can, with the right questions about the sport itself, you can learn so much about the person. And you think that like, oh, this is just, I'm only going to learn about them as a player. It's like, no. Like if you ask them the right question about their experience being a minor leaguer or being a pitcher or being, you know, an outfielder when he, you know, robs a home run or when he gets hit by a pitch, or like, you can learn so much just about the personality as well. And I would say another example of that, just on this topic, and I don't know, I know we're going to all kinds of crazy digression here, but I watched an interview recently with Jared Kelnick that he did with USA Baseball. I know we're shouting out all kinds of random podcasts and stuff now, but it's very relevant. And he was just like reminiscing about his time with Team USA in very specific detail. And like in a way that is fascinating. And like that's the kind of stuff that is the best Jared Kelnick content, because that is not a personality where you're necessarily, it's going to be very easy to crack with any question about what he likes to do off the field or what he thinks, what his favorite TV show is. Like that's not where it works. But like if you point him in a direction to tell a story about a baseball experience, that can be, and in his case, it's like extremely like, I am a freaking baseball freak, savant, whatever.
Yes.
In other cases, it's like, for a case like Taylor Trammell, who hopefully you guys will get to talk to soon, like for him, it shows you how much of a goof he is, right? Like what happened to him in the Futures game, right? Like that's such an amazing story. Like, and that it can show you a side of them with questions about the sport.
Right.
That could show you personality questions or personality traits.
Braden told a hilarious story when he was on about his girlfriend, now wife, who was a basketball player at the University mm-hmm. of Washington,
oh,
and
yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr. was on their bus when they were headed to...
Yes, that was a fantastic story. Yes.
So, I mean, that's a story that's about the sport, but also you get such a sense of Braden's, like, deadpan sense of humor. Like,
exactly.
Oh, this is not how I anticipated
and
this
whole his debut story about Ichiro and going out there getting booed was incredible. Like,
by multiple sections.
That's the kind of thing, man. Like, that was... Right, by multiple sections. Right, it's just like... Finding those moments and asking guys to relive those moments in their careers, or pitching in Clinton, or
yes.
you know, pitching it at a, you know, Division II school or whatever it is. Like all these guys have such different paths, and kind of zooming in to their personal baseball journey is something that has always worked for us and what I always find interesting.
I think there's like a little bit of a hesitation to do that, because like, oh, if you're telling a story about Clinton, then, mm-hmm. you know, it's probably a pretty MILB story, and
sure.
that's going to make Clinton look bad. And I think there's a lot of fear around that. But honestly, if it's an honest story and it's well told, I just mm-hmm. think like people can't get that mad about it.
Right. No,
the story I would love to hear from Jared Kelnick is, Jared Kelnick came across my radar for the first time from the Perfect Game All-American Classic, where he was sitting in a room with like Kumar Rocker and Nolan Gorman, like all these super premium prospects. And Jared felt, you could tell, like, he was a little awed by the company that he was in. And he was a little like, maybe I don't totally, you know, I'm so impressed to be here with you guys. Like, he didn't think he was the biggest baddie in the room. And, like, I just wonder how many times Jared Kelnick has had that experience. That's a conversation I would love to dig into with him. Like, that's where I think he's really interesting. He's not as interesting to me when he's talking about how much he loves to hunt.
Right. And, yeah, I think, too, that's a question we've had a lot of success with in the past is, this is semi-related to what you're saying, is when did you know you were better than all the other kids?
Right.
Because that every player that you talk to, even in the minors, has that story.
And again, now, Sam Delaplane had that story, and his was interesting because he's a short kid, right?
Right.
And he's a
kid who
was called in to replace, and like he struck out 10 out of 12 batters or whatever, and they were like, well, you know, thanks, you're fine, but...
Right. There's different versions of it. And you can just
tell how that molded him as a player.
Can I just know...
as a person.
Can I just note, because I love that question, and I think it is such a fascinating thing, because, like, we generally encounter these players as, like, well, you know, very rarely are they the best player on their team, but, like, for most of their lives, they have been. I'm just thinking back to when we talked to Joey Gerber, and he didn't really ever have that moment. Like, he never really
That's
was.
That's true, though. Right.
You know, it was like, they're you know, because you'll see, for the most part, it is that way, but sometimes it's just like, yeah, it just kind of kept working. Like,
oh, 100%. That's the other thing. Or you talk to someone who grew up in Southern California and played when they were 10 with someone who was going to be a first rounder.
Yeah.
You know? Like, sometimes there's that version.
Yeah, like, I would like to talk to Jared Oliva of the Pirates about that, because he was, like, on a team with Keon, what's his name?
Broxton?
No. I'm getting his name wrong. The Brewers guy. What is his name?
Keston Hira.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, he was on a team with like Keston Hira and somebody else who was like a super. So he was literally never the best player on his team. He was a walk-on at Arizona and then just played his way into getting drafted, essentially. He's such a cool. He's one of my favorite players in the minors.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's the thing, is I guess, again, like it's just. All of these guys have different roads to the show. And, like, that is something that baseball has better than any other sport, in my opinion.
Right, because of the long buildup.
Because of the long buildup and because of how many different levels you can come from or start at. And there's just more players, right? So it's easy. So, This is a good reflection.
The football story is like, oh, I got picked on day two. Like, oh, that's too bad. Like, let me tell you about Devin Sweet, like, being told he had half an hour to get to the airport so he could fly out to Peoria and, you know, paid his own way or whatever.
And, like, had applied to grad school. Like,
So, I just think, like, maybe it feels obvious. And, like, I do want to get a sense of these guys as people, too. But that will come up as they're talking about what their major passion is.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, I think the point you made, Jordan, and about giving, you know, when you have players. Because, like you said, a lot of players, they're not going to want to talk that much. Or they're not going to want to vamp. But, like, even thinking about what has made a lot of the Mariners team so endearing is, like, their commercials have been amazing when they've given, you know, they've like put players in reasonably entertaining circumstances and you get to see a little bit of, you know, these personalities shine, especially like guys who you wouldn't otherwise, like you wouldn't care about Wade LeBlanc and like, you know, but like, he's, you know, he managed to show, I mean, obviously we knew before that he was like sort of a goofy dude, but like that you're getting the opportunity to see these guys interact and you know, showcase a little more personality in those sort of, either like very creatively structured environments or unstructured environments, and that is like, that's how you get some of the best stuff, I think, for athletes in any sport, where it's, you know, you're seeing those moments, you know, where in the NBA where like guys are chatting with fans on the sidelines or when they're, you know, doing something mm-hmm. goofy or in the NFL, you know, it can be just a surprise moment. And I think baseball has so much opportunity to get those sort of fun moments.
Remember Kyle Seager and Carlos Ruiz shouting animals
yes!
at each other in Spanish? Totally unprompted.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. Like, out of nowhere. And that was better than any manufactured content. That was better than any yeah. of the commercials that year.
Yeah. So yeah. I hope we get more of that, because I think that's a really good point about, like, especially when you have someone like Julio who does, like, you have to give a little bit of trust that, you know, your player isn't going to embarrass the entire organization and is in fact going right. to be funny and charismatic like literally everyone who encounters them says they are
right
like,
right, yeah. right right yeah
but I you agree. Can't also just expect Julio's natural charisma to do all the work for you, which I feel like right. the late there's a video that dropped today with Taylor Trammell where he's like mic'd up and it's really just the pressure is all on Taylor it's Taylor Trammell walking around and trying to be funny with his teammates. And Trammell is himself a really funny guy, but I think that the piece overall doesn't work because it's just these short interactions. It's a lot of the Dominican guys, like he's there with Jonathan Clase, who does not speak a ton of English, like trying to interact with them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that honestly is one of the better moments of it because they're all watching Julio hit in the cage, and so there's like an activity they're all participating in. But when it's just like Trammell wandering around and randomly talking to his teammates, yeah. it's just like a workout, and it's yeah. it doesn't work for me.
Finding that balance of when you have the guys that are willing to participate, but you don't want to. Right, you're not asking too much of them. Like on one hand, like there's it's finding that balance where it's like, okay, cool, this guy is very, you know, nice, charismatic, like fun, and like when you're just talking to him regularly, but like it you can't just put a camera on him and say go. Like there, that's a very small number of players that can actually do that, right? And especially when in a Billy, and I haven't watched this video, but in a case like that where you are and with you know Julio's show too, like you are asking them to do more than what basically that's not their job, right? Like you can be a cool personality and not perform once the camera turns on.
No.
And so yeah, but it's hard. And again, the first step is good. Like still like having this effort and giving that access is still worthwhile. And I think we have higher expectations because when you see it done well, you want it to be like that for your team all the time.
I don't want to put you yeah. entirely on the spot, but I am yeah. going to, because like mm-hmm. this is what you and Jake I think have done really well for, you know, really your whole professional career, and even before it was like professional, like
right.
what are there a few like specific things that you would like want to see, you know, or want to do if a team was like, all right, like here you go, you can talk to any of our guys, like come on in, let's, you know, set it up. Yeah, like are there things that you would really like to do that you think would vibe well?
Yeah, man, it is a very tough question, and I think thinking about like in 2019, especially when we were still at Cut Four and still doing that stuff regularly and going to stadiums, and
mm-hmm.
we were constantly doing ideation processes mm-hmm. about this stuff.
Like the Reese Hoskins stuff was
yeah, oh, right. Stuff with
that,
Reese
that's something I think of was so good.
Yeah, and that this was you can go watch this video. Basically, we did a mini home run derby with Reese Hoskins and Scott Kingery. This was in AAA Lehigh Valley, and we basically filmed the whole thing on our own, but we with like, you know, little wiffle ball or rubber ball type things, but that was another one where it was like, okay, like if you're willing to come swing wiffle ball bats, like this is a layup, like yeah. this is the easiest thing in the world. And sometimes it's not that obvious, and obviously getting that, by the way, that's another thing is physical stuff is not always the easiest True. To get teams to agree to,
mm-hmm.
But that's also sometimes some of the best stuff, like when the Marlins let us smash fruit in slow motion. Like wearing a jumpsuit, wearing like that was ridiculous. And I'm pretty sure most teams would not have let us do that. And that was a situation where the Marlins were like, fuck it. Like, sure. You're going to come do a video Marlins with our guys? Yeah. Yeah. So, which I'm very thankful and, you know, shouts out to them. Because especially during the season two, like, timing these things is so important, because if you catch a team when they've lost three in a row, it doesn't matter how cool the guy is. He's going to be in a pissy mood.
Yeah.
You know, if you catch a team in the opposite and now suddenly he's way nicer and way more friendly and in a great mood and can talk to you for 15 minutes instead of five. That whole game is something that we now haven't gotten to do for nearly 2 years. And so, which is to say that, yes, I'm filibustering this answer because I haven't done this ideation, and that sucks. I hope I haven't lost that skill. But I don't know, man. I just miss being able to talk to players, and because so much of the best stuff, too, is talking to them, as you, and you guys know this from your even just from podcasting, is the 10 minutes you talk before and the 10 minutes you talk after. And sometimes that's the best stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like, well, that's stupid. Why weren't we recording that? But like establishing that rapport is also, you know, half the battle. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, it's just getting players at ease. And I think that as we hopefully will be able to go back to stadiums, like these guys do this next wave, and we're fortunate with our prospects in general, but like there are a lot of these guys that do care and want to be out there. And if you give them the right platform and you ask them the right questions, and you're not asking them to do too much, you're not asking them to be the brain power or the production, but if you just want them to be a part of it, I think we're gonna see. And this is why I'm not super like doom and gloom about just like the future of baseball, because I just trust this generation of players to be interesting and to be engaging and to be kind of more forward facing than the last generation of veterans that were much more like stay the fuck out of my way. I think that this next wave is going to be a lot more more friendly and open, and I think that's going to go a long way towards anyone that's trying to make this kind of content, whether it's me or you guys or whoever.
I also think like there's a loyalty to the front office, like we keep our mouths shut and we do what the front office, we do what the team wants us to do, what the organization wants us to do. But there's more of an understanding than ever, I think, that like you're kind of on your own in this, in the baseball world. Like a team will manipulate your service time. A team will deal you away. Like most players will not be with one team for their whole lives. So it's like all about building your personal brand and getting people invested in you, the player, rather than you as a part of this organization. So I think that that might too lead to guys seeking more access or seeking more of an opportunity to be a brand.
Yeah, well, finding that's also obviously a balance, right, that every young player is trying to strike, right? It's like, how much should I be out there if I haven't, you know, done this or that yet? But I don't know. I mean, I think we've seen enough. I mean, not just Julio, and I believe Julio will become, you know, Major League All-Star, of course. But it is very unique to watch someone in some ways so far away be so out there. But it is, boy, we're obviously all rooting for him.
Yeah, sorry, team. I was a little distracted for the last 10 minutes or so. I have a guy in my Twitter mentions openly wondering if Jared Kelnick even exists. So I've been trying to make heads or tails of this. His argument seems to be that since Jerry is just biding his time to bring up the prospects rather than getting big league talent, that he's actually stalling because they don't exist and he has no plan. So I'll keep my eye on this, guys. Don't worry. But I do think Jared, for the listeners who are curious or concerned, I will go on the record as saying Jared Kelnick does exist.
Yeah, no, he's a real thing. I'm pretty sure.
That's allegedly.
That would be really disappointing.
I don't think I've seen him in person. I'm trying to think.
I've only seen him on Zoom with his big hair.
Yeah, I mean, even at like the spring trainings, though,
yes, very short, elaborate little CGI prank.
Yes. Yeah, making that catch in spring training was all CGI.
I
was gonna say all those homers he hit in summer camp was like a stand-in wearing like a green suit, You know, and
some Truman Show shit.
I mean, I was gonna say, like, he does look like a lot like a young version of Homelander from The Boys. So, like, it could just be like a lot of CGI and like making him into, you know, have him fly around, hit baseballs really hard.
He does give the appearance of being a baseball robot at some times, but I've always found that to be charming.
Especially when he's on your team.
The best kind of robot.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited for the Alex Bregman vibes that I get off of Jared, because, like, I can't stand Alex Bregman, but I know I'd love him if he was on our team. That's Jared, right? Like, once he's got enough service time to run his mouth, I feel like he's going to be running his mouth, and we're going to love him.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Did you just drop something?
It could not be more divergent, convergent of our interests and discussions.
Hold on.
I got TweetDeck, baby.
Oh.
Kate, do you see the news?
Somebody just dropped it into our links channel.
Oh!
Matthew, fourth one to get the news.
Wow.
This is great. I'm glad we're recording this, guys.
Man, King shit.
Can we get an episode off without some, like, weird news?
Yeah, Jordan, didn't we have you on when something wild went down last time?
I don't know if it was while we were recording, but it was, like, within, you know, a few hours in either direction.
I think the first time we had you on, the, like, Ryan Healy trade had just happened.
Yes.
And then, like,
that
something.
That sounds very correct, yes.
I'll let the people know what's going on. Atlanta Braves legend Felix Hernandez has signed with Baltimore
on a
minor league deal worth $1 million. John Heyman has added a hashtag king, which is how I feel about it as well. This is some,
you know what?
Some
it's,
king
it's
shit
not
for
the word.
Felix. What a grift. He got so much, like, he didn't do anything at all last season, and he got another contract. Great job.
You know what?
Dude, he looked great last spring, sort of.
I guess.
He was balling out in spring training.
I
will say, not the worst
thing
John Heyman has tweeted recently.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely correct.
I liked him much better as the Braves. Like, as an Oriole, I think we play them.
I was going to say, Atlanta was the perfect, literally, you couldn't pick a better place for him to have ended up than Atlanta.
Yeah.
NL East, right? Yeah. Ideally, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, like, good team. So, like,
basically,
would have been cool if he was, like, the fifth starter on a team that made the playoffs.
Yep.
And now it's just even more sad than it was when he was pitching but also, like, holy shit. Okay, I'm surprised Jake has not. I guess he doesn't. We don't have Heyman notifications on. He's not on Twitter as much as I am. But, wow. All right, well, I'm just gonna wait to see how long it takes Jake to see this, honestly.
Yeah, because let us know in real time, because we want to know that, too. Is Felix Hernandez the missing piece for the 2021 Orioles?
I mean, well, it's not, by the way, it's also not just that, like, I'm pretty sure they play each other. Camden Yard. This is very relevant. I was at his third to last start at Camden Yards in September of 2019.
Wow.
And he gave up a freaking homer to, who was the shitty Oriole? God, that game sucked.
Oh,
I saw Kyle Lewis homer in that game, which was cool.
Wasn't that his, like, oh no, it wasn't the first game back after he got.
No.
Was it the
no,
first
it
game
was,
back after he, like, got moved to the bullpen?
No, I don't think it was his first one. Oh. Oh, my God. Now I'm just getting texts from everyone that's not Jake somehow. Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to pull this up. But yes, but this is crazy. The last time I saw Felix, I was in person. He lost to the frickin' Orioles in Baltimore. And let me tell you, the two or three home runs that he allowed were like, God damn it, I hate this ballpark.
Yeah.
And now we will be saying it
you know,
probably
it's,
27
it's,
times.
It's right off the bat, too. It's April 12th. At Baltimore, 13th, 14th, 15th, four game series at Camden Yards.
Oh, man.
One
go. We're
going to
get
I don't know,
Wade LeBlanc, Felix Hernandez back to back, baby. Oh, it's the homecoming Kings.
I don't know if it makes it better or worse that there definitely will not be allowed to be fans at that point.
Better.
And so
definitely
I
better.
Won't be able to be there. Okay, you know who he gave up home runs to? Anthony Santander, who's sure. actually good. Yeah. And Hanser Alberto, which I don't even know how it's possible. I didn't even know he could hit the ball.
I was
going
to say, I thought he had like a speed governor, like you know they have on big trucks. Like his launch angle could only be not higher Dude. Than like 10 degrees.
Yeah, Hanser Alberto and his first percentile exit velocity managed wow. to hit a home run against Felix. So...
Baltimore comes to T-Mobile Park May 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Fuck. So. Also, that could legitimately be the first series that they
It could be. Yeah, well, we
storming,
don't know.
We're storming the field, baby.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Tell your boys. Meet you guys at the stadium.
This is really something. All right. Well, I mean, I what other note to frickin' end on? I mean, can keep talking. No, I don't have anywhere. No.
Oh,
but like,
wait.
Jesus.
I did have some rapid fire questions for you, Jordan. This will be a great ending on the state of Major League Baseball as a whole. So I'm just going to throw them at you. These are yay or nay. So tell me if you're in favor or against it. And I guess John and Kate, feel free to chime in too. Universal DH, yay or nay?
Yay times 100,000.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think we can stop pretending pitchers hitting has to matter.
Can I just say, like, I mean, it sounds like we'll have that pitchers will hit one more time this year, you know, the last hurrah. NL team, NL fans out there, you're listening. You think you miss pitchers hitting, but after even going 60 games not having pitchers hitting, you are going to despise every second of it. I guarantee it. Okay, what's the next question?
Expanded playoffs, yay or nay?
Yay, but not 16. 12 okay. I would be fine with.
Okay, interesting. So what would that look like in your head? Have you thought that far?
What
would the bracket be?
I think maybe I'm totally making this up. I would be cool with the number one seed getting a bye and everyone else plays a three or five game series.
I was going to say, that's the John Troopin siren song.
Yes.
Cool. Have not talked to John about that, but I trust that he has it all worked out, and I agree with him.
Yep.
Okay, Rob Manfred going to prison, yay or nay?
Wait, should he or will he?
I'm monitoring the situation. I can't reveal any information at this time, but we're closer than you think.
No. I mean, no. No.
All right, fair enough.
This is not the kind of person that no. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Lighter
one. Sorry to disappoint. I know people really don't like Rob Manfred.
No, listen, I'm a professional. I gave you a lighter one after this. The Mariners' teal jerseys, yay or nay?
Yay. Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm not a strong opinion about uniforms guy in general, to be honest. So,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. That's something that is a like people when there's discourse about uniforms, I just can't bring myself to care that much. I mean, not that I can't look at some uniforms and be like, that's cool or that's not cool, but I'm not like, oh, this is a disgrace or, oh, these are the best uniforms. No, I don't care. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. My thing, I do like the teal aesthetically, but I think just as a principle, like it's one of the only things the Mariners have that make them unique, so they would be foolish to get rid of them.
Yes.
Agreed.
This last question does have a correct answer, so I feel like you'll know what it is. Mark Canna, yay or nay?
Oh, the nayest of nays. Did you know, by the way, that Mark Canna was the fact that we even ended up having to deal with Mark Canna is the Colorado Rockies' fault. I was going through all the shitty Colorado Rockies moves of the last whatever 5 or 6 years. They took him in the Rule 5 and then traded him to Oakland. Like, you had it. You almost got it. You almost got a good Rule 5 pick, and then somehow you managed to just Rocky all over the place.
Rocky all over the place.
Trade him and become a infuriating nemesis of the Seattle Mariners. Sorry, anyway. There you go. Nay. Wrong. Out. No more Mark Canna.
Beautiful. That was the correct answer.
Yes, I did it.
All right, well, that was all I needed. I wanted to make sure we got the important opinions out there. Like I said, I am monitoring Rob Manfred on the prison thing, so I'll let the listeners know what's going on there. I'm not pro-prison, obviously. Let me get that on the record.
Yeah, it brings you no joy to report this.
Exactly. But listen, someone has to make sure that the people on top don't continue running the little people into the ground. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a fair point.
Cool. Oh, go ahead. Do you have something else?
I was just going to say, like, I'm sitting here with the John Heyman tweet open. Like, I have, like, I've clicked quote tweet, but I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say.
I've definitely...
I feel like we have to release an official statement.
Yes, on behalf of the BBQ.
Oh man! All right, I guess
make sure it has hashtag King in it.
Yeah, God, he's gonna get lit up.
Let me tell you, minor league deal with Baltimore and hashtag King in the same tweet does not really like you can't. I mean, yes, we love Felix. He is forever King Felix, obviously, but there's some logical inconsistencies there, right? How much of a king can you be?
I'm getting my Jerry God. Rice on the Seahawks vibes.
Holy shit. All right. Well, this was so fun. Thank you for having me on. I hope I can do it again soon.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back. I think you are the leader in most guest appearances this show. So that's
Sam
Delaplane, cool.
Get at me. You got some work to do, bud.
Yeah. We'll send you some sort of jacket or something to commemorate this occasion.
Okay, jacket.
Safely,
kind
of course. It'll be sanitized.
Great.
Not SNL. Yeah.
I'm looking at I have a Mariner Moose Funko Pop. Do you want that?
It would be an honor. I'll take anything.
He's wearing the teal jersey, actually, so it's great.
I believe I have some Robinson Cano Nelson Cruz bottle stoppers that you can have.
I am presently using my Nelson Cruz wine stopper. Yeah, so that is absolutely.
Well, let me tell you, the Dustin Ackley ACK Attack train is within sight from where I sit. So,
at one point, I had a Willie Bloomquist jersey with the sleeves cut off. This was a different time.
I assume that's how that came, right? Like,
no, I did have to cut it. It was actually okay. I tweeted it actually at Jordan, at you and Jake, at the Cespedes account before I knew who any of you were. You didn't know who I was. Because you tweeted something about jerseys, and I posted, like, I laid out all my obscure Mariner jerseys.
I had
the J.J. Putz All-Star Game one, and I had a James Jones, and I tweeted them at you guys. And I think at one point it was my most viewed tweet ever because you retweeted it.
Oh, my God. Well, that's certainly what we had in mind. Just trying to make dreams come true.
That's where it all started. It's the butterfly effect. If you had never retweeted that, I probably never would have joined Lookout Landing, never would have had a podcast.
Yeah, no, there's
that's
no
true.
Way.
We'd
I don't think
lost
there's really
you
any
by
chance.
Now to like Sonic's Rising. Or
thank you again, guys. And I guess, whatever, Baseball Barbecue, that's our podcast. You should go listen to it. There you go. There's our plug.
There you go.
And
didn't even
yeah,
have to
I
be
mean,
prompted for the plug. A true pro.
True bro, of course, is the least I can do. We should get off this podcast so you can put this live reaction of us reacting to Felix signing with the Orioles. Can you clip this somehow and get this up? Or send it to me, or I don't know. Anything you can do so we can get all of our live reactions to this would be great.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can figure that out.
All right. Well, thank you all. I look forward to doing this again soon.
Thank you for doing it. Everyone, keep reading Lookout Landing. Season's almost here. You knew that. You're listening to a whole baseball podcast. You know what's going on. Follow me at mroberson22. Kate is at Kate Producer. John is at John Troopin. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, if you listened to this whole episode wondering how is Jordan even a Mariners fan in the first place, we did an episode about that last winter that you can Google and find on your own. But until next week, when we hopefully have another cool guest, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye. Dagger.
I never killed anybody, but I got something to do with that body. I got the streets on my back, carry it like I'm moving the body. I told him to shoot 100 rounds, like he trying to move it about it. It was like 11 in the morning, skipping school, that's a truancy body. Made me some rats in the morning. I had me a pack by the morning. I had me some racks by the morning. I had a six pack by the morning.